ever turn down a coffee mug?
Look, this one has Megan.
No, no, you don't. Bethany, where do you buy these things?
Gang.
Hey, honey, I'm home. It's time for your pegging.
Has anything ever been so funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now. We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
Hey, we're an Acquired Taste podcast. The podcast for people who always mean to pay their parking tickets, but never get around to it.
It'll happen. I don't usually mean to. Sometimes it happens accidentally.
My license is basically always suspended.
Whoopsies.
You're and yet rebel. You drive everywhere.
Everywhere. Hi, I'm Kathleen, and I'm here with my two friends.
Friends.
Sam.
Are you friends?
And Bethany.
It's France.
France. That is so annoying. I hate myself.
It's so fun, though. Say it again one more time.
Friends.
Friends. I always think if this is my first time listening to this podcast, would I have turned it off by now?
Yes.
And the answer is yes.
I wouldn't have even gotten to the end of your question.
No. No.
Would I have turned it?
So today, what are we doing?
We are trying to stay cool in sweaty NYC.
I know.
Welcome to my homeostasis.
Yes. This is the worst. I don't know why you like this weather.
I love everything about it.
I'm sweating.
We are live from Kitchen NYC without an air conditioner.
Yeah. I mean, I have the AC, but Sam said that it would be too loud ambient noise wise.
Yeah.
And so it's turned off.
We care more about the quality of your audio pleasure than our comfort while recording.
You do.
That's what being a parent is.
Bethany, I hope you don't mind, but I just hung up my underwear on your towel rack.
You know what? I'm just impressed you came with underwear.
That's yeah, true.
That's true. Kathleen usually doesn't wear any.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, it's drying in your bathroom.
That is just fine with me.
So today is debate team. Like high school.
Yes.
Everybody had such a good time in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my garlic press, which what's the thing a judge has?
The gavel.
The gavel. It's the garlic press gavel of truth.
Hold on. Should we move this? Because Kathleen's known to be a firecracker. And there's an expensive equipment.
Yeah, don't accidentally hit the equipment.
I forgot my powdered wig at home.
Ah, nuts.
Then you cannot be a barrister.
Oh, that's the wrong country.
They started that for lice, right?
Really?
Right?
I didn't know that.
I think so. I'll fact check it, and I'll tell you if I'm wrong later. But I think that people shaved their heads because of it was a licey time.
Yeah.
Twas the best of times. Twas the licey times.
I've been watching Bridget Jones a lot, and when Colin Firth is wearing a powdered wig in the movie, I'm slightly turned on.
Yeah, it's real hot.
Wait, do you guys remember the end of that movie?
No, because I never even saw the beginning.
The first movie has literally the best ending ever.
What is it?
Okay, so Colin Firth.
Spoilers happening.
Spoiler, but this movie came out in like 1999.
Yeah, spoiler alert for like 20 years ago.
So Colin Firth and Bridget Jones who plays her? What's the actor?
Renee Zellweger.
Yes. They end up together at the end of the movie and she's running to go put on her sexy panties while he waits in her foyer.
Okay.
And flipped open to her diary is a page where she's like really bashing him.
Uh-oh.
So he reads it and he leaves and she's like, no! So she chases after him in only her underpants and a shirt.
That's right. Forgot about that.
And in the snow in London. And he was actually just going to the Moleskine notebook store to buy her a new diary.
Branding.
And then they make out when she's wearing like running sneakers and underpants. And
you know what? Ross and Rachel did something similar in Friends. So I can totally relate to this.
The romantic.
Yes. The romantic and also not real.
Is this our first debate? Because I think that could really happen.
Wait, so what are we debating first?
Okay, so the first topic of debate is between Sam and me.
Yes. And but we don't know who's taking what side yet.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And the debate topic is your friend invents an invisibility cloak.
Ooh.
Your friend knows for a fact that he can make you invisible, but is not entirely sure that he could ever turn you back. Will you do it?
Okay. So that's the question. I'm just going to bring to everyone's attention that right before this, Bethany's like, that's not real to the Bridget Jones debate.
I'm going to second Sam's.
We don't have statement to touch on it. That just happened once.
I like to think I'm pretty self-aware, but I'm not.
So just like, I don't know what kind of debate team exercises you guys had, but my teacher didn't let us decide what side we wanted to be on in the beginning because it was more valuable to learn how to adapt and convince.
Sure.
So we have not chosen our sides. We're going to choose out of the teacup of truth.
Good life skills.
And by we, I mean Bethany. You do the honors. One says pro, one says con. I didn't mess with you on this. They both have a different answer.
Flipping them around.
The teacup of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Okay.
Jealous of my teacup?
I am.
jealous much? Okay, I am. Con, I am against becoming invisible.
All right. This is fun for me because when we first brought this up, all I could do was think of con. So we're going to see if I can pull this off.
Now, do we rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first?
Rocks, paper, scissors?
Rocks, paper,
scissors. Do you says shoot or do you just rocks, paper, scissors, shoot?
You rocks, paper, scissors and say shoot on three. So it's rocks, paper, shoot.
That's not the game.
That's
rocks, paper.
This could
it's rocks, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay, fine. Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot.
There we go.
You ready?
Yeah.
Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot. Scissor. Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot.
Paper, rocks, paper, scissors, shoot.
Rocks, Sam gets to go first.
Okay. Wait, I don't know if that's a good thing.
All right, well,
hear ye. I call the official opening of an Acquired Taste podcast debate team challenge.
So serious.
Is your table okay?
I don't know.
All right.
It's not my table. It's fine. So, ladies, Sam, Kathleen.
Yes.
I know that you are both like me in that we are very spoiled and we are used to getting everything on demand. Like, if you want to order something online, you're expecting it to be able to get to you. You want your podcast, it's going to get to you whenever you want it. But it can be tough if you want to mail stuff out. Like, a lot of our listeners have side hustles and you're doing your job sometimes at night when the post office isn't open.
Yes. And sometimes your side hustle becomes your full-time job. So you need a way to balance this out and get it done after hours.
Yeah. That's why we love stamps.com.
So it's super easy to use. It's basically like having a post office in your own home or
it's like having
or apartment.
A tiny home inside a bigger home.
Back with the tiny home. So all you have to do, you fill out your information and then you click, you print out the label you need and then you just mail it and you're done. It's basically putting the post office in your living room.
So here's how to get started. Go to stamps.com and then before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in taste. That's stamps.com and then enter taste. And that's going to get you the special offer, a 4-week trial, which includes postage and a digital scale, which is going to be really useful if you want to mail out packages.
I mean, it makes so much sense for small businesses. Like if you're selling stuff on eBay as a business or you have an Etsy shop and you're selling that kind of stuff, stamps.com. Like for us, we're a small business.
Yep.
It just makes life so much easier.
Mm-hmm. It takes away lines and it takes away hours by other businesses. Just go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in taste. That's stamps.com. Enter taste and you'll get all the benefits we can offer. Invisibility cloaks. What do they bring to the potential of our world?
Invisibility.
Excuse me, peanut gallery.
Sorry.
Objection. Overruled.
Kathleen, you should object to her. You're in charge of this whole cacophony.
Bethany, you stop. Sam, you keep going.
So invisibility. There is a large risk here, but nothing in history had a small risk that changed history. So although it is such a scary thing of this unknown invisibility / revisibility, it's something we need to go in bravely and gracefully. And that is why I volunteer to be the first human to be invisible with said cloak, maybe permanently. The
okay.
end.
All right.
All right.
Let's hear Bethany's opening statement, please.
Invisibility. I mean, really.
Ms. Watson.
No, I'm just kidding. I have more
Watson,
to say.
I'd like to direct you to answer the question more thoroughly.
Okay. Here's the deal with invisibility. The problem is that this gentleman, we'll call him Mr. X, who says that he has invented the capability to become invisible but cannot guarantee that you will become uninvisible, i.e. visible. Mm-hmm. This is incredibly dangerous because we do not know the markers for invisibility. We do not know if the person will still be wearing clothes or if they will be completely naked and thus completely invisible. The problem lies in if we don't know where all of these invisible people are and they completely disappear and are not able to become visible, we could have entire armies who are invisible. There's no sense of jurisdiction or any sort of law that has been established beforehand to control the potential chaos that could lie if we make all of these people invisible and they are never again able to be brought back. It's dangerous. We need to bring some sense of red tape into it because if there's nothing I love more, it's red tape. Red tape has brought nothing but good things to things such as those of invisibility and such as.
Okay.
Vis-a-vis the following.
Vis-a-vis the following. U.S. Americans have never seen maps.
Maths.
And world peace.
Okay. Solid opening statements from both parties.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Opening statements are closed. Follow-up statements are open.
Now
Samantha,
what?
Take the stage.
No, not literally, just speak into your microphone.
Sits down. Stage left. Talks to audience. So, I don't laugh at me, Judge.
I now open the floor for a debate discussion between Miss Samantha and Miss Bethany.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So, we can never argue things that have not yet been brought to the table. So we can't say that it's a duplicatable technology yet, because right now it's just the one friend with the one cape. So we don't have to worry about armies just yet. Mm. That is a follow-up ruling debate for in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we just have Ted,
mm-hmm.
who invented the cape,
mm-hmm.
and the one person who's going to be allowed to use it, which is going to be myself.
I do have to draw an argument against your initial statement, which is we cannot argue something that has not yet been brought to the table.
Mm-hmm.
We can argue many things that have not yet been brought to the table. Like, we don't yet know how to kill every person on the planet with one click of a button. But I would say that we should not do that regardless, even though that technology has not been brought to the table.
That's not how courtrooms work, but I'll keep going.
This isn't a courtroom. It's a debate.
Order in the court. Order in the court.
It's a courtroom. It's a debate.
Order in the debate room.
So anyway, if we could stick to the topic, which was what was proposed, which is one person being turned invisible, I am going to do that because there are so many pro things to being invisible. Like, one, I don't have to worry about appearance anymore. I don't have to look in the mirror and keep popping pimples because, if I may be so bold, it's one of my biggest vices.
Mm.
That's going to go away completely when I'm invisible.
But what about being in a relationship? Your partner will never know where you are at any given time. You might never have your family see you again.
No, they can know because I am an avid watcher of a show called The Office. And one episode, Dwight Schrute wanted to be Jacques Souvenier, but he didn't want anyone to see him at all. So he wrapped his entire body in gauze and then put sunglasses on, and he was recognized and seen from then. So if I'm in the mood for someone to see me, I'm going to Jacques Souvenier myself.
But we don't yet know. This is the problem, is that the technology, we don't yet know if everything you're wearing becomes invisible, and thus if you were to put on a pair of sunglasses, they would go invisible, or if we would see them floating on you. It's a risk that you are going to have to take.
I have to believe this experiment was drawn from Harry Potter with the invisibility cloak as our most great inventions drawn from that series.
I would like to point out that that is a fiction novel.
I don't think that it was. We can't. We don't know that it was.
We do know that it was.
Shh, stop it. Not for me.
Oh, Kathleen.
We don't know that
we
it was.
We do know that it was.
No. It hasn't been brought to court yet.
It hasn't been brought to court
it
yet.
It has. Well, I'm bringing it to court. I am currently now here. It is in court.
You can put things on top of you. Or, okay, fine. Harry Potter may not have been real.
It wasn't
real. But
the
other movie that is real is The Incredibles.
No, it's not.
Yes.
Also, just an animation.
Not necessarily proven
no,
as well.
It has been proven.
So the Incredible Girl had an outfit that could be invisible. So maybe I'll have clothes that could be invisible and then revisible. And then that's just perfect. Everything is solved.
All of your evidence is from a fictional book or a fictional, not even actual people movie.
Interjection.
This is my job. I'm debating.
The court is allowed to use TV shows and novels in their arguments.
No, but that's not real evidence. Now your
interjection over.
Kathleen! Okay, may I make a point then, since we're just using fakery and tomfoolery as all of our evidence?
Please proceed, Miss Watson.
This whole thing is real.
What happens when you get turned invisible and then it just makes you explode into chunks of meat that then fall over everyone into somebody's outdoor cafeteria where they're eating at a restaurant on the sidewalk? It falls in and it just becomes a public health situation.
Good point.
Are you ready to risk your life for this?
Good yes, point. Because in the explosion, as it says in the fine print of the invisibility cloak, it's just going to multiply into millions of tiny Sams. Oh, hold on.
Interjection. I did not read the fine print of the invisibility cloak. Can you please explain where one could read this document?
I also certainly did not. And also, I don't think you used the word interjection right.
But she sang it beautifully.
But it is beautiful.
Someone please define interjection. Damn it. No.
It's a part of a sentence.
This makes me happy because usually I'm the one who uses words wrong.
Isn't a debate
just thinking
a
of the word objection?
No, interjection.
No.
A debate is just a run-on sentence, so I'm putting a piece in.
What Kathleen's doing is saying, I declare, before she actually says something with the word interjection.
Yes.
Interjection.
Okay. Okay. Sam, okay. Continue.
So, I'll tell you where the fine print was. It was in a document that Ted, the creator of the cloak, had sent out. Now, it is no fault of mine if he accidentally made it invisible before he sent it out. But being I've already been given the potion as the person who might be turned invisible, I can see that document. I'll be happy to read it to you guys later if you'd like.
That's fine. I'm already bored.
But it includes the fact that she's just bored because she's losing.
Objection.
Okay.
You're not allowed to be rude to your other debaters.
Sam.
Your fellow debaters.
Which Sam? There are millions.
Sam,
yes.
You don't know the repercussions of going invisible. It could kill you. You could never become visible again. This could change your entire life. You couldn't get a loan. You couldn't go to the bank and get a loan because they can't see you. You couldn't get married because there's nothing to put a ring on and there's nothing to sign because you can't.
You can still hold things. You're not a ghost.
But I doubt that any sort of comptroller or whoever is in charge of legal documents for weddings is going to be like, yes, we'll call him William. Yes, William, you and who, no one standing next to you can get married. It's not going to happen. You're never going to be able to have a baby. How's that going to work? Are we going to see the baby growing inside you even though you're invisible and
no,
they're going to deliver it via invisible vagina? Invisible vagina.
For the record, that's my favorite kind of vagina. But yes, there are risks and it could kill me. I acknowledge that, but they said the same thing when human were to first walk on the moon. It was a huge risk, and we did it, and it changed the course of time, and we beat the Russians. So I'll be damned if a Russian is turned invisible before me, a la space travel.
You don't know. They maybe have, and you just can't see them.
That's true, but then I will be able to infiltrate their system.
Okay.
As an invisible human.
Having the space race and getting on the moon or any other sort of NASA or Elon Musk related outer space activities.
Musky, yes.
There is definitely a positive to that, right? Like we explore the outer reaches of our galaxies. We find if there are resources that we need here on Earth. We find if there are alternate locations in case we just make this Earth the bed and need a place to go. That's all good. What is going invisible for you going to do for your life? Or the greater good of mankind? What's the purpose?
I get to be antisocial whenever I want. That's
not
my
favorite
part.
It's not going to help the world.
That it could help the world. We could use it for infiltrating things. We're constantly trying to do that as American people. And we could infiltrate with complete ease. We wouldn't need to spend all this money on technologies and dangerous plans. If we use this for the good of American kind, then what are you recording?
Hi, you reached the voicemail of the show. Please leave a message.
Don't call my mom!
Damn it. I was going to see what your mom thought.
Ooh, that would have been a really good twist.
I know.
She's invisible. Uh-huh. She can't come to the phone right now.
But that does raise the issue. What are your parents going to think?
I could make it so my family never has to work again. Mm-mm. Because if it goes through, I would be on TV shows.
Ma'am, you are incorrect.
And
because guess what? When we tried to send out a monkey into space, no one talked about the monkey. They talked about the people who invented rockets.
I will definitely be on the shows because it would be amazing. And if everything else fails, I would be hired by movies constantly because it would be so much more affordable for them to hire an invisible person to knock over things in fake ghost movies than it would be to put the effects in later on.
You think the cost of invisibility
the judge is gaveling.
The court would like to speak. I think you should both come up with your closing statements.
Okay.
We should wrap this up.
Okay.
I am not convinced on either side of the argument.
Oh, I'm nuts.
So I would like you to think very carefully about how you're going to word your final statements.
Okay. Okay.
On invisibility and the cloak that will give you invisibility. Miss Bethany? Mm-hmm. Please go first.
Your Honor.
Yes.
When did this become a court? It's a debate. Whatever. Your Honor.
Yes.
Samantha.
Sup.
I do not feel that I am necessarily trying to poo-poo the idea of invisibility, nor am I trying to prevent it from ever happening in the future. However, I do believe that human life is more important than the idea of being invisible right now. As such, I believe that it would be in everybody's worst interest to go willy-nilly into the atmosphere of invisibility, even though it may cause them to never become visible again, or, heaven forbid, explode all over an outdoor patio. And as such, we should wait until further evidence and investigation has been done to make sure that invisibility is not only safe for everyone involved, but can be perpetuated in the future to everyone's best interest.
Well, thank you, Miss Bethany Watson, and your strict interpretation of invisibility and safety for the public.
I feel like you're making fun of me when you say that.
Miss Samantha, would you please proceed with your final statement?
Certainly.
Ooh. Passive aggressive. You just got the seltzer open.
I just got sted.
She does not get
sorry
a
about
F
that.
About what you're going to say now.
She just pinky up sipped tea me. Your Honor?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
There's no one else here. This isn't a court.
Please don't talk about Loki and Minerva that way.
Damn it.
Like Bethany, believe that human life is wildly valuable and important. And that's why I do not put my singular human life above all of mankind. And since this risk has been proven to be, I might not be uninvisible, which I'm just now realizing the word is visible, there is no explosion probability. Thus, the worst that's going to happen is I'm going to be invisible and naked, and then they can figure out how to fix it for the second person and use it for mankind. So I would like to put myself in that chair in order to help improve science and science for future generations to come.
You said science twice.
And science.
Thank you. That was quite eloquent.
Thank you. Science.
For science.
Science.
All right.
So
I'm going to give you guys a big round of applause.
Thanks. Who won?
So now I have to judge?
Yeah.
That's you're the damn judge. You've been calling yourself a judge.
Okay. I think you both had very strong arguments. Good points from both sides.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But I really want to be invisible.
Damn it.
I'm sorry.
You didn't have come up here and spoken Latin and you would not have won.
I just really want to Patrick Swayze somebody while they're doing something, anything. I want to Patrick Swayze Bethany while she's doing her makeup.
Take your shirt off and wrap your arms around me.
I want to Patrick Swayze the bus driver while he's driving down 6th Avenue having a really bad day.
See? Come on, being invisible would be super cool.
I think it would be bomb as hell, but I had to say no to it.
There we go. I want a Patrick Swayze, a heart surgeon, while he's
wait a minute. So in an act of desperation, you exploded me?
Yes. I'm very sorry, but it had to be done.
I want a Patrick Swayze, every single dog in the shelter who needs a good home.
That was going to be my con art. If I was chosen con, I was going to be like, no dog will ever see me coming again.
Oh, God.
I will never make another dog excited so long as I live.
All right. We want to know who you think won that argument. You can tweet at Acquired Podcast. My Twitter handle is at Radio Bethany, so you can vote for me. And then let's move on to the next round.
But then if you're on the smart side, it's at Sam_Rosalie.
I'm going to on our Twitter account, Acquired Podcast, before this episode goes up, I'm going to put up a voting thing.
Okay.
Poll.
I would get the cloak in Harry Potter when that's for sale.
Until you turned evil, like, what was the doctor from Spider-Man? Octopus?
Jafar. Did you say who was the Doctor Octopus in Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
His name is literally Doc Oc because of Dr. Octopus. Right? Is that right?
Abbreviations aren't Kathleen's strong suit.
Nobody ever accused me of being smart. Interjection.
I declare. I do love that you committed to singing it every time you sounded really good.
Dang. Courthouse the Musical, okay. Bitches. So wait, we got one more thing to debate.
Round two?
Oh, yes. Oh, you know what? Garlic press gavel? Lighter than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
This is nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like aluminum.
Love this. Okay. Round two. Speed round. I shall be the judge.
Okay.
Kathleen, may I borrow your powdered wig?
Yes, you may. Here,
thank
I'm taking
you.
It off.
Oh, it's
ooh, a little dusty. Okay. Dust. On your head, over your curls. It's not sitting quite right, but, you know, such is life.
Just picture my hair, but gray. Okay. Welcome to the Court of Debate, round two, Kitchen Studio, NYC. Today's topic, potatoes and their stature.
Okay.
Which is the best stature for one, two, potato? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we got our fancy teacup with multiple states o' tater. Mm-hmm. Bethany, would you like to pull first?
Sure. So I am debating for whatever one I pick out.
Yes. Correct.
I'm debating for tater tot.
Oh, all right. All right.
Tater tot has been taken. Kathleen, would you like to pull from the cup?
I am debating for curly fries.
Curly fries.
Tater tots and curly fries. Mm-hmm. We've got two camps up for debate. Which? One's going to go first. Who is the best kind of potato to eat? Let's start with Bethany. Bethany.
Who's looking for a potato? Not only one kind of potato, but two kinds of potato. When you get a tater tot, you get a potato and you get an entirely other type of food. It's not really a fry. It's more of a pebble, like a type of biting appetizer. You like a biting appetizer, just one bite. There you go. You got it. You got a French fry and you have an appetizer all in one. It's a tater tot. Plus, it has texture to it the way that regular fries don't. Plus, it cools down better than regular fries do because guess what? Regular fries get real wilty when they get cold and then they become disgusting, sort of droopy. No one wants to eat that, but a tater tot keeps its shape. It gets cool, but it's still delicious. And you can put it into a hot dish. You can add some cheese. You can add some meat if you're into that sort of murder. You can add some cream of mushroom soup. Oh my gosh, you put it in the oven. You bake it at 350 for like 20 minutes. Out comes this delicious food that started as a potato, then it became a potato tot, a tater tot, if you will. You have so many options ahead of you when you have a tater tot in front of you, my friend. What you want is a tater tot.
That was the argument for a tater tot. Oh, Bethany, very, very appetizing. Thank you for that description of tater tot with the casserole on the topping. Then, Kathleen, would you like to follow up with your curly fries argument? Opening statement now.
I'm going to go with Bethany's opening statement that tater tots are not actually fries. Therefore, they cannot actually be the best kind of fry. I would also like to point out that curly fries are indeed actually fries. Therefore, they are the best kind of French fry. Now, let's talk about that fry. Tater tots, too much width in the center. If I wanted to eat mashed potatoes, I would just eat mashed potatoes. Oh, why? Oh. Why would I fry up something that looks like a tiny little mouse serving of mashed potatoes?
Shots fired. And then call it a fry.
That's not a fry. And when you put all sorts of things on it, like Miss Bethany Watson said, like gravy and cheese and meat and vegetables and whatever, not, it gets soggy because everybody knows that the outside of a tater tot is permeable. Unlike a regular French fry, the outside is less permeable.
Use the word permeable.
I need to talk more about curly fries.
Kathleen wants to come in on the curly fries continuation.
Curly fries are the superior fry over tater tots because of their shape. Their shape, everybody knows, that allows them to keep that very spicy curly fry powder in plethora. There is more surface area on curly fries than there is on regular fries, and curly fries, therefore, are a better vehicle for things such as cheese and meats and an assortment of toppings because of the shape. They naturally cup the condiments and accoutrements more so than a tater tot, and you get the crunch and you get the soft in the tater tot. Cannot offer that.
Bethany, do you have a counter for that?
I sure do, Your Honor. Thank you for asking. You say that curly fries are a good vehicle for dipping sauces of various kinds. However, I do have to say that curly fries by their very nature are weak. Yes, I said weak. They cannot support the heft of a good solid dipping sauce. Also, are you moving to Oregon? You're doing it under on the trail, right? You're doing it with a covered wagon. What is going to last longer on the road? A curly fry? I think not. It's going to get wilted and it's going to look like...
All right. Ladies, very, very compelling, hunger-driven arguments.
So mad right
so
now.
So much I passion would, about how we eat our potatoes. Thankfully, there are many good ways to eat potatoes.
Kill a tater tot if I saw one walk down the street.
I would kill a curly fry, but I torture it first by dipping it in things that couldn't sustain that because curly it can't fry, sustain weight.
That Guys, curly fry would strangle you.
It's 2018. We're not going to ruin a potato just because of its appearance.
Okay.
Final statements. Please keep them to 10 seconds or less as I beep down the timer. Bethany, you can go first.
Tater tots are the civilized food. They make sense. They can be used in many different environments. Everybody loves them. They do not alienate types of fry lovers because they are themselves unique. Thank you.
Points for right on time. Right on time. She was right on time. What's the about 10 seconds? Kathleen, would you like to follow it up with your 10-second timer countdown? Yes, I boop to it. 3, 2, 1.
What are we looking for in this life other than happiness and fun and smiles? And what can a curly fry provide that a tater tot cannot? A really good time. They're so fun to eat. And that is it. Bye, taters.
Another excellent point for calling on the time. Thank you very much for closing on the statement. Another appropriate time. Ladies, very good job with time management skills.
Good time.
I'm heated now. I'm so angry.
I'm really mad at you. I think this did something to our friendship.
Do the two of you actually care how you carry your potatoes?
No.
Yes.
I knew it.
I am mad about curly fries. They are the superior fry. End of story. I really do care about this.
I'm passionate about the tater tot.
I'm not drunk. I'm passionate.
But I mean,
tater tots suck.
They're, no, they don't.
Wow, Kathleen. Now the judge is getting offended.
For elementary kids.
Hold on now. You do know I just ordered them with lunch before we podcasted,
and I ate three of them.
Now you're getting personal.
All right. Can we also post who listeners think won this one?
Yes.
I don't trust Kathleen to post it though. Sam, will you post it? Because I'll post it. Kathleen's gonna be like, "Who do you think won?" And the options will be Kathleen or yes, also Kathleen.
See, option one.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
I like secret option number three, which is shoestring fries. But Now this courtroom's going crazy.
You're going to hell. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. Should we go around the room and say what we learned this week?
Yes.
Who wants to go first?
I will.
Okay.
Guys, I bought something. You're both going to be so proud of me because you always wear this item of clothing and I never do.
Can we guess?
Mm-hmm.
3, 2, 1.
Underwear.
Jumpsuit.
So I bought a jumpsuit. And it's so cute. And I really thought a jumpsuit was something that I could never wear. But do not give up on something that you think is cute and you don't think it fits your body, because there is a cut out there that will work for you.
Yes.
So where'd you find it?
I found it at J.Crew. Surprise, surprise.
I was hoping it was a maternity jumpsuit.
I found a linen jumpsuit. It is so cute. I really thought that I didn't have the body shape that I could wear it, but it looks adorable on me. And I wore it out to dinner with my girlfriends the other day and I felt so fabulous in it. So do not give up.
No. I like that. That's what I tell people when they tell me, oh, I wish I could wear red lipstick, because I like red lipstick. Exactly. It's your attitude and your persistence. Just find that match.
Yeah.
And your undertones.
Our friend, Alex, she runs the Instagram account Glow and Joy. You guys know Alex. She was posting the other day that she went shopping with a friend who made her pick out all new stuff that she wouldn't normally pick out. And she posted this really cute pair of denim shorts. And she said, never in my lifetime would I have thought I'd be posting a photo of myself wearing denim shorts. But, you know, my personal shopper forced me to look outside of my comfort zone. And here I am. And look how cute they are.
I love that.
Everyone needs that friend.
Yeah. So grab a friend, go shopping, and make that friend try on stuff that they wouldn't normally try on.
That's great.
Vice versa.
That's cute.
I want to see you in that jumpsuit. Wear it next time.
I will. Who wants to go next?
I can go next. Sure. My lesson is know your audience, because I have a friend who's getting married and she wanted to surprise her fiance with a gift, which is lovely right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So she had, which I think is super awesome, a scandalous sexy photo shoot done.
Fun.
Okay. Right. Very classy.
A boudoir.
No visible bottom nudity, she said. But she goes, yeah, it was a really risky situation. I'm asking her all these questions about it because it's something that I think is really cool. I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll do one day. And as she's answering the question, she's like, oh my God, I can't give it to him. Like, why? She goes, he's gonna kill me. He's so jealous that if he found out that I had a risky photo shoot that I was just covered with a dude photographer.
It was a guy?
It was a guy. Oh. He's not gonna want this gift.
She can't tell him it's a dude then.
That's the thing. But now she's in the pickle of, does she just pretend it never happened and wipe it away, or make up a story saying it was a woman, which she doesn't know if she can do because she's a horrible, horrible liar.
Well, also, I'm a little concerned that he's that jealous. We'll move on.
He's very jealous. But he had some serious demons in his past, which I know, you know, doesn't stand for everything, but the boy's seen some stuff.
Okay. I would just lie and say it was a lady.
But she's like, but then I'm starting my marriage on a lie.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so then maybe she just doesn't show them.
Right? Maybe she just keeps it buried and gives it to him I said use it for a 1-year anniversary. This way your second year is based on a lie.
Oh my goodness.
Just make sure your hair looks the same and say you got it recently.
Actually, your 1 year anniversary gift is the paper anniversary. So yeah. There you go.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So that's why she wishes she could undo the experience. So just know your audience. Knowing your audience is just as important as what your personal thought is in the message. So that's that.
Those are really fun, but I've done it, but I did it with a bunch of women.
Yeah.
And they were great.
Right. And you felt probably safer.
I felt safer. Yeah, I didn't feel objectified in any way.
Bethany, if you were going to do it again, and Sam, if you were going to do it for the first time, would you object to showing a little bit of tasteful crack?
No.
Yes.
No. Yes. I accidentally show tasteful crack all the time. I'm totally all right with that.
I don't think there's anything such as tasteful crack.
If you're not a crack person.
Yeah. I'm not. I mean, like, how cute is that little girl on the copper tone bottle?
I see, she creeps me out.
That's tasteful crack.
I said no when I sent my headshot for that.
I've never found that tasteful. I've always been grossed out by that copper
really?
Tone girl.
Really? I think it's so cute.
Yeah.
Do you like, Bethany, when you see people getting, like, women, what kind of female outfit is sexy to you? Like, do you like the big slit in up the leg? Do you like the cleavage side
boob?
Do you
know what I love?
What?
Is the incredibly well-tailored menswear on women.
Mm.
Like
okay.
Janelle Monáe or like what Cate Blanchett is wearing in Ocean's 8, where it's like menswear.
Yeah.
But for women.
I love that too.
I love that.
So I love the open back. Uh-huh. So I'm wondering if that's why I like top crack.
Maybe that's why.
Usually they pair well together, like a rosé and a fruit salad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just can't like I can't unpair that with what it is subjected to every day.
Can we hit the danger zone? Like if it were a centimeter lower, that's crack. Is that sexy to you?
Wait, a centimeter lower? Like, crack.
If it's just not crack.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But, like, any lower, you're crack.
Right. Like, I like the lower back. I like, the dimples.
The lowest back.
Yeah,
yes.
The lowest back is hot, but I don't want to see anything.
Back before the crack.
Do you like crack, Kathleen? Are you okay with crack or does crack heal?
No, I like crack.
Okay.
I think, imagine a girl with no top on. She's just wearing jeans and she's just about to pull them off. And you see maybe just like the side of one cheek and
I'm immediately picturing Kate Moss and I love it.
Is it because you're imagining what you're not seeing?
I think so.
I think I'm picturing a Calvin Klein ad right now.
Yeah, well, I think that there is something really sexy about not seeing everything. Like, I'm all about that.
Mm-hmm. Just like a little side boob. I love side boob.
I love side boob.
Do you guys see I Feel Pretty?
No.
The Amy Schumer
movie. It's on my list.
Just at one joke. At one point, she comes out to the guy she's dating. She's completely naked. And she goes, thought I'd give you a little sneak peek. And he goes, I don't think you know what the phrase sneak peek means.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. Okay. Know your audience.
So know your audience. That whole thing means that. Bethany, what did you learn this week?
If you do not live in your hometown anymore and you go back to visit, give yourself a day of just immersion, like alone, if you like to be alone. I went back to Minneapolis, which isn't technically my hometown, but it feels more like my hometown than my actual hometown does. And I drove around to all of my very favorite places, including I passed this record store that I had forgotten about completely. And I used to live by there when I was in college. And so I would go there to buy all my nose rings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Electric Fetus.
Wait, at your local record store?
Yeah.
Electric Fetus?
Yeah, and it's been around since 1968. It's this bomb-ass record store.
Oh, how cool.
It's so great. They sell, well, first of all, they have a bunch of print stuff because Prince, Minneapolis, I mean, everything. But they have an entire, it's a huge store. They have, half of it is just dedicated to vinyl.
Love it.
And then they have some CDs, and then they have t-shirts, like band t-shirts. They have pot smoking paraphernalia, if that's your thing. They have, I mean, it's kind of your typical like hippie store in part of it where they have like incense and, you know, burner, like pipes and stuff.
But did you buy anything?
Yeah. So I bought the sticker. I bought an Electric Fetus t-shirt, and then I'll show you. Hold on. I'll grab it.
Okay. While you do that, I'm going to sing a song that reminded me of from Friends, Phoebe strums guitar. How you doing, little fetus? In 9 months, will you come greet us? I will buy you some Adidas. That's the whole song. Phoebe wasn't one for full songs.
I can't believe you remember that song.
And then I bought this Haim album.
Yes, Haim.
But yeah, So it just like made me so happy, and it reminded me of college, and I still have my first bottle of patchouli that I bought at the Electric Fetus. And so
Chris Martin of
you. I know. So if there's a place in your hometown or like your college town, go rediscover it and like buy a t-shirt or buy something from it, and it'll make you really happy. I promise it'll make you so, so happy.
I love that.
Wait, can I tell you something very quickly that I just read about Haim that I think is very cool? They were playing a music festival and they found out that a male artist equivalent to their level of fame and success who was also playing at the music festival was getting paid 10 times more than what they were getting paid.
What?
So they fired their agent and are moving on.
Good for them.
Yeah, you go, girls.
They're standing up for equality. And
yeah, they there are still people who don't believe that women get underpaid just because. And it happens. It's so maddening to think of. And so I can see why people don't want to believe it. But it's absolutely true. People of the same level and the same like amount of training or skill will just get paid less for being ladies. Yeah. Good for them for standing up for themselves.
Those sisters are amazing.
So Google that and get some more details. But it's a very cool story. I just read about them. Love
equal
them.
Equal pay for same work.
Yes. All right. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, that is Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, we are Acquired Taste Podcast.
Or search us on Facebook. Just search Acquired Taste Podcast. There's also the secret fan group. And you can get in, I think, just by answering a trivia question, right?
Yes. And I think that comes up on Facebook before our actual page. So
that's because they're more interesting than we are.
Yes, they are. And if you want to email us, an acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to say that one more time because it's the longest email ever. I am sorry a thousand times. An acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. Like, review, subscribe to us on iTunes, please.
Yes. And if you, if the address will serve you, we have a P.O. Box. It's an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And one super important shout out to Harry, because I've missed it on the last two episodes, who came up to me and whispered in my ear as an intro, I'm a taste bud.
Oh, wait, where were you?
I was at Goodwill with Greg T, and that was his intro. He goes, I'm a taste bud.
That's amazing.
I love that.
Awesome. Also, this is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. I forgot to do that last week.
I feel good.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out. We'll talk to you next week.